This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
I guess the question is, you know, with the Knicks, everybody's always saying, well, they got to find a superstar. With what happened last night, does that change Knicks fans' opinions about their interest in Jaylen Brown? Because that's the name that's come up a lot.
I'll say this. If he wanted to, and once again, he's got a situation where he's supposed to get an extension this year. He did not help his extension numbers last night. And in this series, he did not. And this was the opportunity. And this is selfish reasons, obviously. But of course, it goes along with everything else, right? If he shows that, you know what? I can go somewhere and be a number one. I don't have to play second fiddle or co-fiddle to Jason Tatum. I could be a guy that could put the team on my back and play well in a big moment.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
Hour number two on a Tuesday night on 98.7 ESPN. Hardesty and Damer, 1-800-919-3776. Talking a little hoops, talking some baseball as well. Yankees playing well. 7-0, Gordon. How about those Yankees?
Bro, the offense is rolling, Larry. How can you not love this offense?
It's great.
It's great. Cashman's
looking smarter every day.
Oh, executive of the year.
Back to the phones. Robert's in Jersey. What's up, Robert?
I got to tell you a very unusual thing, because I've been betting sports, and it's hard to believe this, for years, and I'm ahead of the game. I'm not getting rich. But listen to this one. I wait for overlays, and you can still lose. So you tell Richard, I'll give you a better one last night. I bet the series Denver. I bet it last night, the opening line at FanDuel. Do you know what the odds were to Denver to win the series? Would you want to guess?
To win the finals?
Yeah, you know what? I bet it last night. My wife said I'm a great bet. She says, how do you do this? 2-1. It went from 2-1 to 5-1. You can check FanDuel. The opening line was 2-1. Now, you tell Richard that's a great bet, right? You can still lose. That's what I'm trying to say, the point. I think I make very good bets, and there's no guarantee of winning. But 2-1 versus 5-1, I could bet the other side and make $150 because Miami is $350. You know, you get back. But I'm still going to go with Denver all the way. And you don't think the Knicks can get a trade for Brown, Barrett, and a couple first-round picks? You don't. Boston wouldn't go for it, would they?
No.
So. It's hard,
because,
Robert.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. I don't. It's in the same division. I'm not helping.
That's
too
last
good
place
of a player.
Yeah. And I know that there's been some connection. I think he's from Atlanta, and he's been kind of open about wanting to play. Maybe not wanting to play, but how much he loves the Atlanta area. So it's not like he's from New York, so I don't think that there's any ties there that he could even force the Celtics' hand. So I would not think that Jaylen Brown is a real possibility for the Knicks.
But you know what's interesting, since you mentioned that, you know that Trae Young is on the move, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, they might switch.
Right, that's possible.
You know, that would be an interesting.
I know other people have floated the old Dame Lillard.
Yeah,
of course. Know, really shake it up that way.
Yeah.
And I would think that would be a type of player that Portland would like to have back in a deal for that. Somebody they could build the franchise around, kind of say. Right?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know that I don't know that they do a whole lot better than that in terms of one individual player if they traded Dame Lillard.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be interesting. Buddha's in the Bronx. What's up, Buddha?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
We're good, Buddha. What's going on?
Hey, listen, I mean, you want to talk about wetting the bed. Oh, my God. You know, listen, I can't be broken up about it. You know, like I told you yesterday, I mean, I haven't rooted for anything in Boston, and I don't know how long, but I mean, this was the first time. And it wasn't really about them. I'm sorry, I'm hard-pressed. I don't like that matchup of Adebayo versus Jokic at all. I don't even like Miami's front court, period, to be quite honest with you. I mean, their best players are in the back court and at the, you know, small forward or the wing, whatever you want to call it. But, I mean, good God. I mean, you want to talk about stock going down. Jaylen Brown, listen, I don't want to hear anything anymore about you don't like this town. Listen, bro, it was all right there for you. And like you said, I mean, he got the same problem that R.J. Barrett got. It's that dribble.
Yeah, it is.
Dribble is high. You understand what I'm saying? The dribble is high. It's not tight. You need to watch that old video. Remember Isaiah Thomas, you said that video back in the days of 80?
Stay low.
You need to watch that video. You need to watch that video. Get low.
Stay low.
to be like little child on the East Side Boys. Get low. You know what I mean? But I can't. You know, I'm sorry. I love hearing you laugh. Your laugh is priceless, man. But look, something went under the radar yesterday. Two things went under the radar yesterday. One was kind of silly. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers was, you know, he's a Swiftie. He went down there, you know, Jersey Shore, you know, he saw Taylor. And he said the Jets are going to win the Super Bowl. And then somebody went to Rob Saar and asked him, what do you think about that? You know, he hit him off with the Rob Kramer, the Hamada, Hamada, Hamada. I mean, God. Aaron Rodgers is the coach of the team right now. Rob Saar's going to be fired. Y'all know that, right? He's going to get
also
fired.
He's also the GM.
He's everything. He's the alpha and the omega. I mean this is crazy. For a guy who's going to be here for 1 year. But anyway, listen. The one thing that tickled my fancy yesterday, and it went under the radar, I mean, obviously because the Sixers are not prime news right now, but real talk, they got the best available coach.
Nick Nurse?
Nick Nurse, to me, was the best available coach. He, you know, look, Monty Williams is a good coach, but I'm sorry. I got to hold him accountable. That when they asked him, and he said, yeah, I hadn't spoken to DeAndre 8 months. First of all, why would your dumb behind answer that question? Like, yeah. Honestly, that's number one. But besides that, it's like, you know, you got those two superstars there, you know, one aging and injured, and Devin Booker. But you got to coach a whole team. I just didn't like the way he went out this year, and the way everything went. So the Nick Nurse hiring, to me, was the one that I'm looking for. And the reason why I was excited about that is twofold. First part, obviously, to me, he's the best X's and O's coach that was available. He has a resume. He has the ring. But he hasn't been here before. You understand what I'm talking about? Like, Tobias Harris had a weird relationship with Doc Rivers. You understand what I'm talking about? Like, Doc Rivers would coach him, but Tobias Harris wouldn't listen to him. And hopefully we can get him off the team. I think he's an expiring contract. But the best part about it is, first of all, we're not getting Mike D'Antoni. That's number one. But now it says to me, you know what it says to me? That James Harden is going to Houston. And the team might need to get, like my man Karis once said, and broke it down to his very last compound. They got to break the team down. And you got two keepers. Everybody else is movable. You got, obviously, Joel Embiid, and then you got Tyrese Maxey. All of the rest of those other guys are interchangeable, when I say get rid of them, obviously you're not going to get much back for them. You're going to get pennies on the dollar. But it shows me, Nick Nurse, to take that job, he's not the kind of guy that's going to come in there and be told, I got to keep this guy, I got to work with this guy. It shows me he's going to come in there with his own vision. I trust his vision, and we might not be in the championship like next year, but he's not going to allow this organization to do what they've done for a while, is waste Joel Embiid's prime. And I've been mad with Joel Embiid, the way he carried himself in certain instances and the way his play diminished and all that. But it's similar to, like, Giannis. It's similar to – there's five or six guys. I don't care if they're disgruntled or not. As an organization, you owe it to your fans and you owe it to the rest of the people who are involved with that team. You can't just be getting rid of everybody, you know, just because they're pissed off. Who are you going to get that's going to replace – what Joel Embiid gives you, not only in terms of offense, but in terms of defense. So, you know, I'm very happy about that, you know, and I'm looking forward to maybe in 2 or 3 years we get a couple of those dogs to come on this team and help this guy out, because he's a B personality, not an A personality.
I hear what you're saying, Buddha. Nick Nurse is look, he's an excellent coach, as you mentioned, won the championship up in Toronto. I hear what you're saying about Harden, but, I mean, you know, the owner and Harden are real close, Gordon. I don't, you know, we'll see. We'll see if it means Harden is gone. I mean, Harden did not have a bad year. I know you don't like him, Buddha. I get it. I know you don't. I know you don't.
You can't rely on that guy.
But you can't rely on him. No. I mean, he was real good from an assist standpoint, but as a scorer, Gordon, his days are done as a consistent scorer in this league, I believe. I think he's just an assist guy for, you know, he does a nice job pick and roll, but they needed, to be fair, they needed the other guys to step up. And look, Maxey had a really good series. Tobias Harris has been a disappointment because he's better than what he's shown. He's better.
He's just not aggressive enough. He's almost like RJ Barrett, like the third guy. Mm-hmm. He doesn't fit in. He doesn't know when to take a shot. He doesn't know where do I pick my spots? Do I shoot here? Do I shoot there? I pass. I yield. He's got to be more aggressive. And maybe this way, Nurse can if he's still there, Nurse can find a way to identify everybody's role. That would go a long way in helping out Joel Embiid, who had a phenomenal year this year.
Yeah, and I would think that, like, when you look at coaches a lot of times, it's like, well, it's not so much that you want this guy, you just don't want that guy or that guy or that guy, so you're all right with – but as you said, Nick Nurse does have a resume. He does have a championship. He does have a pedigree in terms of defense and all that type of stuff, so it'll be interesting to see how his system kind of melds and meshes with Embiid and some of the other parts on that roster. But, I mean, when you take a look at some of the other options that were available – and it turns out to be Nick Nurse. All right, yes, I'm a huge Nick Nurse fan. Yes, absolutely.
Sold. Mark's in Newark. What's up, Mark?
What's going on, fellas?
Mark, what's going on, man?
We got you.
Oh, okay. So today I'm in Bizarro World at work all day because I just couldn't figure out why. And now I think that I've figured it out. So I got to ask you a question, Gordon.
Yeah.
Who are you taking in the series?
In the NBA Finals? Well, I mean, I'd be crazy not to take. I'm not betting it because you can't get any value on the Nuggets now, but if I had to pick one of the teams, I would take the Nuggets.
The Nuggets?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm voting for Miami. I feel back to regular me now.
Okay, good.
Okay. Now, Larry, mm-hmm. I sent you a text. And I got to tell you, here's what happened. Like, I have, like, a few favorite Mets, one of them, of course, being Carlos Beltran. Vogelbach. And, of course, the other one is Ray Ordonez. He's one of them. He's up there. Mm-hmm. My new favorite Met.
Daniel Vogelbach. Neither.
Wrong. And my new favorite Met is Mr. Baseball, Francisco Lindor. Why do I say that and call him Mr. Baseball? Because every time he gives the interview after he does something heroic, they ask him questions, and he says, I'm just playing baseball. It's just about playing baseball. So I call him Mr. Baseball. I love that guy. Anyway, now, on the flip side of that, Larry, there's the other mister. So I'm still in Bizarro World, and then I'm watching the game, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's the Phillies, and and then even as soon as I thought that, then you got the announcer saying, oh, boy, yeah, they got a tough lineup. And I'm thinking, tell me something I don't know. And we got the 2-0 lead. And then I look, and Vogelbach comes up the bat. And, Larry, I let off the biggest oh, no, that I have let off since we had Ruff. That's the same kind of oh, no that I had. And I'm like, oh, no. He's like that little kid that the parents want him to do good. And I call him not Mr. Baseball. I call him Mr. All Shucks. Why? Because every single time he does what he does, he walks away from the plate and it's talking to himself and blowing. And he's saying, like, oh, shucks. Oh, I can do it. I can hit. Oh, shucks. DFA that guy. And DFA Nito, too. He ain't even do nothing bad this year. DFA him, too.
Mark is in the Mark's in the DFA mood, Gordon. He's making changes.
He's not exactly alone on the whole Vogelbach train. I mean, that train is overloaded.
That train could hardly move.
Oh, can't get out of the station.
You know, it's like he's booed on this walk up and he's booed on the way back. Gordon, I was so happy to see Vientos tonight as the DH. I didn't know what to do. I know he's hitting 200, but listen, he got a hit.
Right. Well, I mean, but
you got a hit.
He's up here, he's got to play.
He's got to play. Let me see him.
Right. You can't be looking over his shoulder every single second for a guy who's hitting 220 and slugging 300. Come on.
Maybe he's hitting 220.
Yeah.
You know, so no.
Throw Vientos out there for a few weeks and see what you got. I mean, and again, this is not a it should not be a battle between Vientos and Vogelbach. This is what he is. He's a pinch hitter. He's a bat off the bench who's got a good eye, a little bit of pop, and that's it. He should not be a regular presence in your order,
no.
And certainly not your starting DH.
No, he should not. He should not. He has forfeited that role, that option. Forfeited. We'll continue our conversation on 98.7 ESPN.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
Before we get to the phone calls, what did you do after we finished working yesterday?
After yesterday, I just hung out with the family a little bit. So we did the Top Golf today, Larry.
Did you?
Yeah, the family and I, we went to the old Top Golf. It was not close, but we did take the trip. It was fun. It was, you know what it would be perfect for? If you wanted to get your kids interested in the game of golf,
mm-hmm.
It does it in a very fun way. And if you're not, it's almost like if you're not into bowling, but you want to go bowling, but this is for golf. You know what
right.
I mean? It's very casual. They play games where you can kind of pick the game. One of them was like an Angry Birds type of mm-hmm. style of game. So you don't have to be driving the ball 200 down the middle of the fairway. There's no rules. That, you know, you can kind of have fun. So it was a good day.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent. I will be heading there. We're planning something for the grandson on his birthday.
Oh, okay.
So we should be doing some stuff with some Top Golf, some mm-hmm. Top Golfage coming
yeah.
up in the near future. It is a lot of fun. It is great. It is great.
And my son plays a little bit. My mm-hmm. daughter doesn't play at all, but she found it fun.
Good.
She was not looking for the exit 20 minutes in, which is
nice.
Always a good sign.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, last time I went there, I heard somebody call my name. Marty Lyons.
Is that right? Look
yeah.
at this.
Marty Lyons was hanging out there working on his game, you know. So,
you have the option. Like, if you are a golfer, you can certainly do that. But if you're not into it, it also gives you an avenue to kind of experience it and
mm-hmm.
have some fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because generally when I'm working on my game, I'm not having any fun. I'm not
and the
having
best,
any fun whatsoever.
And the best part about it is they provide clubs.
Right. You don't even have to bring your clubs.
You
can break their clubs over your knee.
It's a nice job.
You can't do that.
No, you can't do that. But you don't have to bring yours, which means you don't have to buy any.
Right.
That's the best part about that. 1-800-919-3776. Hey, Lenny in Long Island, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I was thinking about something that you said as far as Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown being similar players. Wouldn't a trade with this the Celtics trading Jaylen Brown for a Devin Booker work for possibly both teams and make both teams better? What are your thoughts about that?
That's not bad, Lenny. Thanks for the phone call. That's not bad. It's out of the division, so that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
The money is probably pretty close to being, you know, pretty close to matching up in the deal. And, because when you think about it, Gordon, I mean, but the other thing that Phoenix has got to do, they got to do something with their bench. Because they really, you know, Mikal Bridges and mm-hmm. Cam Johnson coming to the Nets, it killed their bench. They were the top guys. They were 6th and 7th off their bench. And so now everybody else had to move up, and they didn't really give them the production that they were used to getting from those two guys. So they got to do some stuff with their bench anyway. But that would not be a bad move.
Out of all the trade proposals that we've heard, that one is not crazy.
It's not crazy. I would be amenable to that. Now you lose some size, but in Devin Booker, you get a guy who can put the ball in the basket, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
That guy
Absolutely.
Can shoot it.
Yes.
Jose's in Brooklyn. What's up, Jose?
Good evening. How's it going, guys?
We're good, Jose. What you got?
Oh, not much. Just wanted to recap, you know, last night's game. I was definitely very concerned for Boston because I always felt that as soon as Miami hit a couple of threes and got a lead, that it was exactly going to play out how it kind of played out last night for them. And Miami got the lead and they never pretty much looked back. And Boston was... It was just very sad, very very sad how they responded in Game 7. But it is what it is. Kind of happy because, like, you know, what Gordon said previously, we didn't have to relive all those 2004. We only got to see like one intro of that. And then after that, we never got to see the rest of that again because we saw that Miami was going to win. And, yeah, just pretty much wanted to check in with you guys. Don't worry. I don't forget you guys. So, you know, just wanted to go in and say hello.
Well, I appreciate that, Jose. Thanks for checking in. Always good hearing from you. And, yeah, you know, Gordon and I said it yesterday. There's been something missing from this team all season.
Absolutely.
And you had no faith that they were going to. This should have been an easy game. Gordon, I would say this to you. If the reverse had happened, okay, and Miami won that game to make it 3-3, and the next game was in Miami, Gordon, and even if Butler was as injured as Tatum was, Gordon, I just don't think you would have blown Miami out the way you blew out Boston.
No.
Even in the same situation, coming from that, I just don't think that you would have blown them out like that. I just don't. They're a little tougher. They're a little mentally tougher than what Boston is. Boston's fragile. They got a glass chin, Gordon. They do.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, you've seen it time and time again now. So that's why I think a lot of people are saying you got to change something. I don't know that people have necessarily put their finger on what needs to change specifically yet, but it's clear you got to shake something up.
Yeah, you do. You do. Because it's not,
it's not working.
It's not working. And once again, you've gotten there. It's not that you haven't gotten there. You've gotten there. And that's the frustrating thing to them, right? Because they've been to the conference finals. They've been there. They've been to the NBA finals. They just can't win. When we return, we'll update you on the Yankees and we'll head out to Citi Field where Kota Senga had a very nice night, Gordon. As a matter of fact, the Mets, even though they didn't pound, they got some runs and won the game. We'll talk about that. We'll hear from the combatants next on 98.7 ESPN.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
As a matter of fact, let's go to Citi Field now.
We want to go right now?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, hit a little baseball music and we'll be off and running. Gordon, oh, it was a good night. Kodai Senga became the sixth pitcher in Mets history to throw 7-plus scoreless innings, allowing one or less hits and no walks. He's the first to do so since Jacob DeGrom in 2015.
Look at that.
Francisco Lindor had his 10th home run. That's the most before June 1st in his career since 2018 when he had 14 en route to a career-high 38 home runs. And the only rookie in Mets history to throw more strikeouts than Kodai Senga through a player's first 10 career games, Doc Gooden in 1984. No, I'm not comparing. Just letting you know how good he was tonight. And Gordon, he was good. And we know he's been good, especially at Citi Field. But he was really good tonight. Here's the line on Senga. 7 innings, which was a pleasure for him to get past 5. 7 innings, 1 hit, no runs, 9 strikeouts, 100 pitches, 66 for strikes. Gordon, he looked really, really good. He looked so good that after the game, Buck Showalter said what he saw from Kodai Senga.
Good command. Establishes fastball early, I thought, which made them have to rush a little bit. You know, the recognition of the forkball. You know, you don't have to honor command of a fastball. It makes a pitch like that easier. And there were a lot of them that appeared in the zone early in the delivery. It wasn't a ball right out of his hand, but he was impressive. That's a good lineup.
It is a good lineup. It's not a great lineup. It's a good lineup. He was impressive. But, Buck, any reason for Senga's home and away splits?
Well, he's been competitive on the road, you know, but he's been really good at home. You know, I'm hoping those things kind of even their way out, you know, as we go forward. But I'd love to have a concrete reason. I'm supposed to. But we've looked at it early on. But I don't know if it's big enough sampling for a guy just coming to a league the first time. It's not like he hasn't been able to get anybody out on the road. It's just he's pitched really well at home. It's not like I'm going to make sure he pitches at home only. It just won't work. But I don't really know for sure yet. What do you think? I'd love to. Anybody wants to weigh in on it, let me know.
Well, I tell you what, if you, I'll say this, Gordon, and I don't have a clue, and I know I don't know as much baseball as Buck Showalter, but I'll say this. If you pitch him once every 7 days on the road, I bet you he'll pitch better than when you pitch him every fifth day, because that's what he's used to doing. And the velocity is probably not the same, which means that there's not enough difference between the spin rate with the fastball and the spin rate with the ghost pitch slash forkball. So that's why the players can tell the difference. It's not much of a difference, A, and B, he can't find the plate.
Yeah, I mean, his ERA on the road is 6. Now, it's not a great sample size, and it's a lot of it is that he's not going deep into games and he's giving up runs. The Oakland start was bad because it was against Oakland, even though you won that game. The Giants start was bad, even though you won that game. So it has not killed you on the road. But, yeah, you got to get that straightened out. You can't have him. I mean, he's looked like one pitcher at home, and he's looked like a completely different guy on the road.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this. I'll say this, Gordon. If this keeps up like this for the season and you get to the postseason, I bet you he doesn't start on the road. I bet you he starts only at home.
Yeah, of course. I mean, of course. So, I mean, if you go through a whole season of this. The one good thing is at least he's there. Right?
Yes.
I mean, at least he's pitching. Now, he's not pitching deep into games, and that's a bit of a problem. You'd like for a guy who's as dominant as he is to be giving you some length every once in a while. Tonight he went 7, but I think that's the first time he's gone 7.
You know what was scary? There was a stat that Gary Cohen gave in the first inning on SNY that Senga retired the first batters in order in the first inning. It's only the 7th time he's done it all season.
Wow.
I was like, what? The other thing that was a great part of the game tonight, some defense from Brandon Nimmo, stole a home run in the game. Buck Showalter on Nimmo's catch.
Good. He's, you know, especially talking to people that here before I got here, the way that he's grown as a player defensively, you know, he's one of those guys. We have a lot of them on the team that see something that they may not be as good as they're capable of being, and they attack it instead of just constantly going out there and working on things you're good at. You know, it takes someone very team-oriented to go out there and work on the things that might keep you from being a complete player, and, you know, Nim works hard at it. I think he's just gotten comfortable playing a lot of baseball as it grows. You're seeing a guy, you know, just kind of come into his own as a hitter or just a baseball player. It's one of the reasons why, you know, we trusted him with the contract.
Hey, Brandon Nimmo, talk about that play you made robbing a home run.
I knew that there's going to be a possibility, and so when I got to the track and I was kind of able to start timing it up, that's when I was, you know, just saying, okay, if I can just time this right, then I'll get it. You know, everything has to work out perfectly, and that timing has to be just right. So luckily I was able to time that up and get it right before I hit those metal bars and bounces all over the place. But I was really glad I was able to help Kodai. He did so well today. We didn't get many chances to help him out. Glad to help him out in that situation.
Yeah, and listen, runs were not plentiful tonight. Lindor with a solo shot, his 10th, as I mentioned earlier. And then Escobar reached on an infield single that scored a Marte. So those were the two runs. And the Met bullpen, which has been struggling a little bit of late, was able to make it hold, Gordon. So the Mets take game one of this series against Philadelphia at Citi Field.
Yeah, and the Phillies, we talk about the Mets struggles. The Phillies look terrible.
Yeah, they do.
And that contract they gave Trey Turner, that really looks bad. He has not. Yeah, you know, when you give a contract of that length, at some point it's going to turn bad, but you think right away it's going to be great.
That's right.
That has not been the case. He's hitting 240. His on base is 285. I think he's striking out like 20. Well, let me see what his chase rate was. I mean, it's like the highest of his career. He is not, that has not been a smooth transition for sure.
He's striking out like Schwarber.
Yeah. He's striking out 26% of the time.
That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. That's every fourth at bat. Right. Strikeout.
Yeah. And this is supposed to, you know, he's not, when Schwarber does it, you get the home runs with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Turner's got some power, but he's supposed to be putting the bat on the ball, using his speed, getting after it, and striking out more than a quarter of the time.
No question about it. Meanwhile, the Yankees and Mariners are going at it. We move to the top of the 7th in Seattle. Yankees with a 7-2 lead. The scoring, very simply. IKF single to center. Judge scored. Torres scored. IKF went to second. LeMahieu to third. And then Bowers had the sacrifice fly. LeMahieu scored. And so that gave the Yankees a 3-0 lead. Volpe homered to center. Calhoun and IKF scored. They made it 6-0. Allen homered to right. That made it 7-0. France doubled to left. Haggerty scored and Hernandez doubled. And France scored, so it's now 7-2. Michael King came on in the sixth to replace Nasty Nestor Cortez, who went 5 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs earned, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts. 101 pitches, 66 for strikes. Michael King, pretty efficient, 17 pitches, 12 for strikes. Had a strikeout, allowed 2 hits, but got out of it. So the Yankees holding on to that 7-2 lead. And here was the really crazy thing for me, Gordon, as I was looking at the game. I'm like, just when you think the Yankees are rolling, the injury bug comes again. You know the situation you've got at first with Rizzo, mm-hmm. and the injury that he suffered with San Diego
yep.
at the stadium this weekend, and then Bader with the pulled hamstring last night. He was playing well in center field.
Yeah, he's been playing great since coming back. So that's a big blow because now you're it's a big hole in the field as well, not just at the plate. He's been excellent, but he is a guy that has gotten hurt a lot in his career. So hopefully this is one of those ones that's not going to be that long of a period of time, and he's back out there because that's the problem with injuries. With everybody blaming the injuries early on, there's nothing saying that you're not going to continue to get injured when you have injury-prone players.
Mm-hmm. No question about it. When we return, we'll take care of some more business with you. We got some more things to chat about on 98.7 ESPN.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
I mean, that's my type of game right there, so I love it. I love it whenever we can play good defense and help the pitcher get out of innings. It's fun. I like my home run, but I think Nemo's play was cooler. So it's just fun to watch the guys do their things. And in the last inning, Jeff was like, hey, move a little bit. He's trying to see a deep. He's trying to go the other way. Next thing you know, we get a double play. So little things like that is what winning teams do.
Francisco Lindor talking about how the defense played well in the Mets 2-0 win tonight at Citi Field over Philadelphia. And then, Gordon, there was this.
High fly ball, deep left field. Pollock back. He's on the track. He's at the wall. He leaps. See ya. A home run for Judge. Another one. He's done it again. 8-2.
Our Michael Kay with the call on yes. Gordon, what's he do? Hit a home run every night?
It does seem that way, right? He now has 18 on the season. He hit his 18th last season on May 30th. So he is on pace for the same, on track for the same amount of home runs as last year.
Why not? That's
crazy. And we talk about Pete Alonso. Why would anybody talk? Why would anybody pitch to Pete Alonso with what's behind him? Willie Calhoun is hitting behind Aaron. Why are you still pitching to Aaron Judge? What are you doing? Stop pitching to the guy. He's going to kill you. And he's been killing everybody. I mean, he is the best hitter in baseball. I don't care. People can have Acuna. They can have this guy. They can have that guy. Otani's great. It's not saying that that other guys aren't great. But, I mean, what Aaron Judge does is just absolutely incredible. And why anybody is still pitching to the guy, I have no idea.
I have no clue either. I have no clue. Gordon, I forgot to ask you, give me your thoughts on Herman last night.
Well, look, Herman can be good at times. It's just puzzling that he's still not gotten a clarification on what he is. He is on the verge of a 50-game suspension. Mm. And he's still not exactly sure what he did wrong last time. Herman, that was a typical Herman kind of game, right? He gives up 3 or 4 runs. He pitches you about 6 innings. He keeps you in the game. And right now the Yankee offense, despite the names that are in the lineup, they're scoring runs. So you just kind of hope that they can ride this for a while. If it's Willie Calhoun and Jake Bowers and IKF and Higashi, whoever it is, they're scoring some runs. So the Mariners have had a very disappointing start to the season.
They have. They really
very
have.
Very disappointing.
They're not close to the team that the season ended with last year.
Not at all.
Not close.
No. And how about the Oakland A's? Could the Oakland A's match their longest winning streak of the season with a second straight victory against the Atlanta Braves? It's 1-1 top 9 in Oakland.
Against Atlanta.
Yeah,
come on,
right?
Oakland.
And do you know, the A's have not had a one-game losing streak. Every time they have lost games, they have lost more than one in a row. And their longest winning streak of the season is 2 in a row.
They put them together.
Yeah.
They string losses together.
Yes,
but not
they
win.
Do string losses together. Absolutely. That's to lose to the A's last night and be you know, fighting tooth and nail here in the ninth inning against Oakland again. That's a that's a bad job by the Braves. I wonder how many people showed up tonight. Probably a couple hundred.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. Now, to be fair to Atlanta, they didn't have to play and then fly out. They played Sunday night. Did they play Sunday night? They played Sunday night against the Phillies, no? And then they flew out.
I think
out.
They did, yeah.
And then they flew out and had to be in Oakland last night?
Yeah, but it's, I mean, come on. You could have flown to outer space and back. It's the A's. They're like a Triple-A team. They're 11-45. They're 6-23 at home.
Listen, this Atlanta, I'll take any wins against them. I can get. I don't care who it is.
Absolutely, right? Sure, why not?
Who it is. Gordon, I had to, you know, every once in a while, I like to bring you things that make me laugh.
Okay.
Every once in a while. Well, I have something for you, a couple of things for you tonight, things that make me laugh. Listen to what Le'Veon Bell shared about his pregame ritual when he was, I guess, with the Jets, or maybe he did it when he was with Pittsburgh, too.
It's conception about me with the whole weed thing. But, like, looking back on it, it's like, bro, like, that's what I did. Like, you know, when I was playing football, I smoked, bro. Like, even before the games, I smoked. And I'd go out there and run for 150, two tubs.
In the NFL? Like,
yeah.
It's like, hey, Gordon, like, you mean, he said, in the NFL? No, running the streets.
Yeah, no, yeah.
No wonder he was so hard to catch. Here's the other thing that made me laugh from Le'Veon Bell. Now, this is from the Still Here, Steel, S-T-E-E-L, Still Here podcast. This is something we didn't know about the Jet coaching staff when he was here, Gordon. Check this out.
Bro, we get to New York, and that's why I instantly find out, oh, head coaches make a huge difference. Like, huge difference. Like, as soon as I get to New York, I find that out, like, the first week. Bro, it's like, I knew it was going to be a battle. I knew it was going to be an uphill battle. I knew it. The team wasn't that great, don't get me wrong, but I feel like if Coach Tomlin was coaching that team, we win 9 games at least. But it's like to the point where it's like Sam Darnold is like, don't even know like the actual protection or what the Lions protecting because he's so confused about our offense because the coach is confusing him. The play calling was terrible. It was a lot of things that were not going the way that obviously should have been going.
Another promo for Adam Gase.
Think about the amount of guys who have gotten second and third chances, and it's not even been rumored. I don't even know where Adam Gase is. I don't think he's anywhere.
Neither does his family. I don't know where he is.
Yeah. And it's funny that he's saying that, like, the first year with the Jets with Gase, they were halfway deep. They were 7-9.
I know.
They won 7 games.
And Darnold didn't know what was going on.
Right, didn't know what was going on. It was the second year. Woof.
Oh, man.
Things got ugly fast there.
It did. It went downhill. It really went downhill. But, you know, I listened to that. I was in the – I had a little tear in my eye, Gordon.
Those were the days. Those were the days. Oh, look, man. You know, if the Jets reach the heights that people expect for them this year,
mm-hmm.
that's where the video is going to start with that 2-14 year and Adam Gase on the sidelines and on the bench by himself drawing plays on that whiteboard.
That nobody could run.
Nobody. Nobody had any idea what was going on. He was filling out his resume on that thing.
He probably was.
Yeah.
Because he knew it was over. And just think, he had control of the team.
Oh my God. That was the guy they decided to hand the keys of the organization over to.
Yes. Oh my God.
Whew.
Thank you, Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Whew, boy. Bill Belichick couldn't have possibly screwed over the Jets as Peyton Manning did.
No. No. And they should be remember Peyton Manning way that Bill Belichick remembers the Jets.
Peyton Manning called me.
You know.
Oh, my goodness.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, it's not going to be like that this year. Now they've turned it over to somebody who knows what he's doing. Aaron Rodgers is going to be out there. He's going to be calling the plays. He's picking the players, Larry. He's calling the plays. He's running the offense.
That's it.
15
concerts.
Yep, concerts. Why not? Please. He was at OTAs. He has a chance to now unwind.
You know, man about town, took in a couple of Ranger games, little Ranger playoff, Nick playoff.
He didn't pull anything during the Taylor Swift concert, so far as we know.
Healthy.
healthy,
ready to go,
ready to roll. He better
ready
be
ready to go. Yeah, he better be. He's because he's writing checks. He's gonna have to cash.
Mm-hmm.
He's writing checks. It is gonna be interesting. It really is. It really is to see. You know, and you know, Gordon, I was listening to the K Show today, and there's been, you know, a lot of conversation about, and we talked about it too, about Major League Baseball, and you got this streaming service and that streaming service and this streaming service. And I know Grassa did, you know, a segment on his show tonight talking about the streaming services taking over sports and whatnot. Very quietly, Gordon, and I didn't realize this. It slipped past me. That's why you got to listen to the K Show Monday through Friday from 3 to 7. Gordon, did you know that one of the postseason games is on Peacock?
Yeah, in the NFL, yeah, yeah. It's crazy. They have made it clear.
Are you nuts?
You are just a resource to pay them money. They can talk about the fans all they want. You are just there. It's a business. And you are supplying the money, and they will shake out every dime. Any decision they will make that makes them an extra nickel, they will make that extra nickel.
I mean, the playoffs, not
a random Thursday game. No. Yeah.
And even if it was, even so, not on Prime that you already have a game on.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else. So what does that mean? Does that mean that they're gonna and here's the thing, Gordon. So my YouTube NFL package get that game? It's a playoff game.
No, it doesn't be an exclusive game to Peacock.
See? That's right. Because really, your Sunday ticket doesn't really work in the postseason.
No.
It's really a regular season
deal. It's a regular season vehicle. Absolutely.
Oh, man. The National Football League, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Oh, man. When will the NBA join in? I'm waiting to see. Because you know it's coming. You know it's coming with
probably,
the new money.
Yeah, I mean, this is the future.
Yeah,
oh, look,
it is.
And you know what? If they do it and they pick one streaming service,
yes.
Okay, fine.
Yes.
But when you have this one for this day and this one for that day, and I need seven things to watch the team.
Yeah. It's not
outrageous.
Fair.
No, of course not. It's ridiculous. But they don't care. They'll tell you they care, but they don't care.
Well, they care about the money they're getting.
That's all they care about.
That's for sure. All right, my friend, I'll see you tomorrow night. Be good on the radio. I'll be checking out those updates tomorrow morning.
All right, Larry, sounds good.
All right, that wraps up this edition of ESPN New York Tonight. We thank you for joining us. Harvey, Julian, thank you very much. Great job as always. Up next, Freddie and Fitzsimmons. They'll keep you updated on what's going on with the baseball scoreboard, and they'll talk a little bit about the NBA. That's next on 98.7 ESPN.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.